You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Next, we have Andrew Little. He joined me this week for our regular chat where we discuss a number of issues, including Waitangi commemorations next week, abortion reform, and his Electoral Integrity Amendment Bill. Here is Andrew. Waitangi commemorations are next week. How are you feeling about this?
Oh, very good, I think. I mean, I think, you know, it's an important day for all New Zealand. You know, it marks the document that has been the founding of government in New Zealand. I think what's added, a new dimension to it is the engagement I've had at the end of last year with Ngā Puhi, who, and they consider themselves the guardian of the treaty because it was in the Ōrohi where it was all signed. And, you know, the government has been trying for some time to get them around the table to negotiate the settlement of their treaty claims. And we've seemed to have got a spirit, at least, of willingness to want to engage and make progress. So I'll have a few more hui with, you know, Puhi people on the weekend, and then hopefully in the next few weeks we can see if we can start to get things underway.
And why has it been so difficult to get them around the table up until now?
Oh, look, there's a lot of issues, and there's nothing political in this, but it is the way the whole treaty settlement process is managed. But there were challenges to those who held the mandate to negotiate on behalf of Ngā Puhi, and the Crown had to take note of that and had to work with Ngā Puhi to change how the representation happens, and that's what we've been working on. But in the meantime, I think a lot of people had got frustrated and somewhat disengaged, and it was about giving a signal that, no, that look, the Crown is ready and willing and wanting to go. It's got to have confidence in those representing Ngā Puhi, and actually all of Ngā Puhi needs to have confidence in those representing those people. So we've just got to get the representation right and get the system underway and then get the negotiations going.
The Prime Minister is spending 5 days at Waitangi. How significant do you think this is, and do you think it'll have any effect on these negotiations?
I think, look, it's a huge expression of confidence in the treaty, its historical significance, and the people of Northland as well, and Ngā Puhi. I think, Waitangi Day falls on a Tuesday, and there are typically things that politicians and party political leaders do in the 2 or 3 days leading up to it. It just happens because that then falls on a weekend. There's a few other things been organised, and I think it's fantastic that the Prime Minister has committed herself to such a long period of time in that region to do those sorts of things. That is a big celebration up there this weekend, so it's good to be part of that.
Do you feel it's significant in showing that Labour has sort of moved on from the days of the foreshore and seabed, when the relationship with Māori was not so great?
Yeah, look, there's no question that put real tension in the relationship between Labour and Māori people generally, and I think we've come a long way since then. I think, you know, what I'm very proud of is that we are a caucus where we have 13 or 14 now, I think, Māori MPs. We have the biggest number of MPs in Cabinet, both, you know, in the core Cabinet and outside Cabinet. And we've established a new portfolio of Crown-Māori relations, which is thinking about life after the treaty settlements are completed. So it is about taking that relationship seriously. So, you know, I think the Labour Party, New Zealand Labour Party, has matured, if you like, or grown up. I think for the people we have, the Māori MPs and ministers that we have, we offer a good solid platform of leadership for Māori and for all New Zealand in terms of that future Crown-Māori relationship.
Moving on to abortion law reform, a national leader, Bill English, described Aotearoa's abortion law as broadly satisfactory. I mean, what would you say to this?
Well, I don't know who he's listening to when he makes a statement like that. The law we have is 40 years old. It makes huge assumptions about women. And actually, the whole problem with the law was, because it was largely put together by middle-aged white men, is that it assumes women aren't capable of making decisions about their bodies. And so it is time to have a look at it, and I know a lot of women are concerned, and specialists are concerned that abortion is still regarded as, you know, if it weren't for the Contraception, Sterilisation and Abortion Act, it would be a crime. And we have to move away from that. It is a health issue, and it's a health decision for women to take, and that's what we want the law to reflect. So I will, after consultation with our coalition and support partners and one or two others, I expect to send a letter off to the President of the Law Commission asking the Law Commission to review those laws and come up with some alternatives.
So do you feel that this could be something that by the end of this Parliament is changed? Is this a goal?
Yeah, I'd like to hear back from the Law Commission certainly well before the end of this year so that we can think about law changes and getting the law changes done during the term of this Parliament.
And do you feel public view is in line with, do they want reform?
Look, there's always has been mixed views about this. It's a very fraught issue, but I think look, we're in the 21st century and I think we have to move on from the idea that women cannot be the decision maker or at least should not have to go through extra hoops in order to have this sort of procedure. And I think there are more people who are saying, this idea that you've got to get two specialist reports and leap through all these hoops in this sort of situation when it's a woman's body at stake. I think there's more people now who think that just is antiquated and out of date and are keen to see a review. And then there's the question of some of the basic language in the legislation as well, which is out of date too. So, look, I think we just need to have a good, fresh, modern look at it.
And moving on again, the Electoral Integrity Amendment Bill passed its first reading yesterday, I think. What were the aims of this bill?
This reflects, we used to have a law, pretty much the same law in place at the early 2000s, and it's really to reflect the basic principle under MMP that the proportionality of party representation in Parliament goes to the heart of MMP. And the idea, as we have seen, that MPs partway through a term of Parliament can change the party that they signed up to or are a part of, and distort the proportionality of representation in Parliament and kind of not suffer any consequences, I think is, defeats the whole objective of MMP. MMP was all about when there is a general election, everybody gets to vote, 2.6 million voters, they decide the size of each party in Parliament and therefore who gets to form a government, and that should not be disrupted or distorted during the term of Parliament. MPs can go off and do what they like, but they've got to understand that the most recent general election is the one that set what the electorate wants as the share of votes in Parliament, and that should remain until the electorate speaks again in the next general election.
So is this a problem that only comes up under MMP, or is it just particularly bad under our system?
No, I mean, arguably it comes up under first-past-the-post, but typically what happened under first-past-the-post, most times, if an MP changed their party allegiance, they would trigger a by-election. And we've certainly had plenty of that in New Zealand. Winston Peters did it, Tariana Turia, Hone Harawira, when they decided that they no longer fitted with their party or that their party had abandoned its principles, they went back to their electorate to renew their mandate and came back either as independents or with a new party. And that's a totally legitimate thing to do under first-past-the-post and under MMP, which is, of course, Tariana Turia and Hone Harawira did it under those sort of things, which is the right thing to do. But it should not be, open for any MP to swap horses during the middle of a Parliament and sort of carry on regardless, because then the will of the electorate, as determined at the most recent general election, has been frustrated.
And recent statistics by Statistics New Zealand show that 29% of people rate their trust in Parliament as low, and this is especially high amongst Māori, who 44% rate their trust as low in Parliament. Do you think this will help combat this?
Yeah, I think, politics, politicians, Parliament typically get a bad rap because we tend to be at the centre of controversy and disagreement and stuff, and that is the nature of politics. We're making decisions, and some cases far-reaching decisions. Sometimes we get them wrong. Some people might say we always get it wrong, but like that's just the nature of the beast, and people will wax and wane about what they think about politics and politicians and its institutions that goes with that. And we're always striving, and we must strive to act in a way that is principled, has integrity and maintains confidence. But of course you can't guarantee that at any one time people are going to have confidence in us.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.